As we begin this eighth month of the year, the month of August, which is dedicated to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we have today at least two very important feasts, most of which are in this day and age forgotten and cast aside. The principal feast, which is a Mass which we celebrate, is that of St. Peter in chains. Of course, the readings, especially the first reading, have to do with the fact that St. Peter was freed by an angel of the Lord who comes in the name of God, with the power of God, as he was held among many soldiers in chains. And in the middle of the night, he wakes him up and the chains fall off, hence the name of the feast, and then they walk out, and nobody does a thing to them. The doors open, big, fat, heavy, bronze doors. They open one after the other, and St. Peter escapes from prison. And, of course, in Rome, there is a basilica where the chains that were on the hands, on the arms of St. Peter, were later on retrieved, and they are guarded with great love and piety and jealousy, because these are the chains which held St. Peter captive. And of course, one of the things that this feast teaches us is never to say never. When everything seems lost, when everything seems like it's all down the drain, God will come through. God cannot be conquered by the devil or by anybody else for that matter, not Herod nor anybody else. And so St. Peter was freed. It was not his time, according to the will of God. And then the other feast, which is of good importance, and particularly is important because of the Protestant revolt in the 16th century, which, of course, eventually would cast out them and the books in which they are found in the sacred scripture, because they were and are part of the sacred scripture. And in the 4th century, first, the Jews that did not want to talk about purgatory or any of those things cast them out. And then later on, Martin Luther, that heresiarch, and who knows in what depths of hell he is burning. But he is, I assure you, and God has assured that to many visionaries and mystics. He cast them out. And of course, I speak of the fact that today is a feast of the Holy Maccabees. They give name to the two books, the last two books of the Old Testament. And there were seven, and they were killed in front of their mother, and then she herself last, because they were commanded to break the law of God, which at that point was the fact that it was forbidden to eat pork. It didn't matter how good it smelled and how well it was roasted or anything else, it was forbidden. It was a mortal sin. It was a grievous offense against God. And for that, and you know, a lot of people do a lot of things that are much, much worse, and they don't think anything of it. But these seven young men, the oldest of which was maybe about 17 or 18, and the youngest, maybe 5 or 6, they all, one after the other, and they were killed from the eldest to the youngest, so that the next one would see how horrible their martyrdom was and would give in and yield to the pagan menace. And they did not. Their faith in God and in the law of Moses, which was all that was had at that time, our Lord had not yet come. The new law of the New Testament had not yet been given. Was so important to them that they died for the sake of that law, which is indeed so very important. And so one after the other, they died. Now, it is interesting, and perhaps that's why they are celebrated on this day, the relics of the holy Maccabees, the seven Maccabean brothers, and the mother are divided. Of course, relics are divided all over the world. I may have some in my coffer of relics somewhere, who knows. But the thing is, there are two places in particular where the relics of the Maccabees are held. The biggest portions of the relics, in a magnificent gold shrine and coffer on the side, opposite to where the three kings are, on the main altar of the Cathedral of Cologne in Germany. They are held there and venerated there. But the other major part of their relics are kept with great devotion and love in the shrine in the Basilica of St. Peter in chains, the same place where the chains of St. Peter are. And so today, we should learn the lesson from St. Peter and from the Maccabees. First of all, that God always must be first. Nothing else must come first from God, no matter who it is or how much we love them or they love us. God must come first. And the second is that if one puts God first, as St. Peter did, as the Maccabean brothers did, that God will come through with victory for them. In the case of St. Peter, his victory was temporary. A few years hence, he would be crucified upside down in what is today the sacristy of St. Peter's Basilica. And of course, we celebrate that every year. But nevertheless, that was his vocation. That was the will of God for him. The will of God must be first. And second of all, that we must trust in the power of God to procure miracles when everything seems lost. St. Peter was as good as dead, and he would have been beheaded in front of the Pharisees and scribes in a day or two after the Paschal mysteries were finished, the Jewish Paschal mysteries, not the Christian ones. And this, of course, probably was just 1 year after the Last Supper, Good Friday, the resurrection of the dead, of Christ. And already St. Peter was in chains. And yet, it wasn't his time. And for us, it is the same thing. Many times people say it's all lost, there's no reason, why should we pray, why should we go to Mass, why should we do this and do that? No, we need to do what is our duty, what is what God wants of us, what the Blessed Mother wants of us. And so we are here tonight on this eve of First Friday, on which we make reparation to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we are here to make reparation to Jesus for all the offenses committed against him. And of course, in this last week, we have seen a tremendous and heinous offense against the holy sacrifice of the Mass and the holy sacrament of the Eucharist. Now, they'll say that it's this, that, or the other. It isn't. It is a great offense against God. And so, therefore, we need to see where our loyalty stands and keep it. And in addition to that, we need to make reparation. Again and again and again, we are told we need to make reparation. Our Lord tells us that. He tells St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, Our Lady, in all her apparitions, tells the visionaries and through them us, you need to do penance. You need to pray. And so therefore, on this eve, we make reparation and we make penance. But the thing is that we think that we're giving up a lot and we're doing a lot and we're sacrificing a lot. We're doing nothing. We are being given a lot. We are the receptors, the recipients of many, many, many graces from God, and of course the indulgences, which will hopefully keep us out of purgatory or shorten our purgatory. And so, of course, we need to wish to obtain these graces and these indulgences in order to lessen the time in purgatory that we may have accrued through the wickedness of our lives, of our sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.